and welcome to my kitchen. Yeah, this all feels a bit strange. I would much rather be able to see you all. We're going to see how this goes and how to develop things over the coming weeks. But let's get into God's word together. Let's look at Psalm 121 together. Looking at this psalm has done me a huge amount of good this week. I really hope and pray it'll do you a lot of good this week as well. And how best to use these videos? And we've got a couple of options really. You can sit down and watch it all the way through. So you can just kind of, as we just go through this short psalm together, just take some time and watch it the whole way through. Or if you want, you can pause at different points, pause after various the different points, and then go away, think about it, pray about it, reflect on it, and then you can come back. So it's up to you to use it the best way you can. This is really to encourage all of us in the Word of God at this time. Let me read the psalm for us, and then I'll pray for us. So it's Psalm 121. A song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, your word connects with our lives, whatever we're going through. And we are feeling the pressures and the strains of this season of life in our country and in our lives. Lord, please meet with us, speak to us things we need to hear, Lord, and do us good as a result of spending this time in your word. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. So this psalm, Psalm 121, begins with a question that we all have probably been asking at some point over the last couple of weeks. It's a question we will probably ask ourselves again in the days ahead. Where does my help come from? Or to put it another way, how am I going to get through this? That's the question the psalmist is asking here. That's a reason why I love the Bible. I love the Psalms particularly because they're so honest and realistic about life in this fallen world. They sort of give us permission to bring our questions, our frustrations, our difficulties before God and cry out honestly to him. And you don't need me to tell you, we are living through some pretty extraordinary times. We're living in a time of great uncertainty and fear, where so many of the things we usually take for granted can no longer be relied upon. Again, our everyday lives usually involve meeting up with friends or family or church family, going out to work or to school, going out for a coffee or a drink in the pub, buying toilet roll from the shops, and all of a sudden we can't do those things anymore. So the question in our minds is, how am I going to get through this? Where is my help going to come from? And linked closely in with that question is another one, which is, how am I going to help the people around me at this time? How can I help my children, my husband, my wife, my parents, my neighbors, my work colleagues? Because we're all feeling scared and bewildered by everything that's happening. We don't quite know what the next news bulletin or government press briefing is going to bring. So where does my help come from at a time like this? And how can I be a help to the people around me in a time like this? Well, I believe the message of Psalm 121 is a message we really need to hear as we head into this time. I want us to see this psalm and the psalmist here as a friend who's speaking to us. A friend who wants us to know the truth about God and the truth about ourselves in the days ahead. So what's the truth about ourselves he wants us to know? Well, very simply, we need help. We are people who need help. Now, Psalm 121, it's one of the so-called songs of ascent in the book of Psalms. These were psalms sung by Jewish pilgrims as they travel to the temple in Jerusalem for for one of the annual festivals. They're songs to be sung on a journey. The destination is the temple, this place of celebration and worship, the place where God lives. But the people singing these songs haven't reached that destination yet. They're on their way, but they're not home yet. And it's no surprise then that Christians have always read these Psalms, including Psalm 121, as a picture of the Christian life. See, for the Christian, Jesus Christ has rescued us and made us his people. We are now all on our journey home. And where is home? It's the new creation, a glorious place, free from sin and death and struggle, free from death and mourning and crying and pain, free from hand washing, self-isolation, panic buying, fear. That's where every Christian watching this video is headed, the new creation. But we're not home yet. And the journey home is often hard, to the point where we sometimes think, do I have the strength to make it to the end? And that's where the psalmist is at the beginning of this psalm. He feels his weakness. He feels under threat and he's looking for help. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Nice picture of some mountains here in The Hobbit. But the mountains for the psalmist represent a real threat to him. The mountains were a physical threat because thieves, enemies could be hiding in those mountains waiting to attack him. But the mountains also represent a spiritual threat. See, there would have been shrines to other gods on high places throughout ancient Israel. And maybe the psalmist is feeling so weak and so vulnerable that he's tempted to go, maybe I should go to one of those shrines. Maybe I should worship other gods. Gods that I can see, that I can touch their statues, rather than keeping trusting in the living God who I can't see. You see, either way, looking at the mountains reminds the psalmist just how vulnerable he is. And so we ask the question, in the face of these threats outside my control, where does my help come from? Where do I turn for help? And the answer the psalmist gives is one I need to listen to and learn from. I think we all need to listen to and learn from. The response to threats, to feeling weak and vulnerable and not in control, is not ultimately panic or despair. The psalmist's fear drives him to the God who alone can meet us and help us with our fears. See, fear actually is an invitation to draw near to the living God. Again, the reason I am filming this in my kitchen is, as you know, we have to keep our distance from each other physically. That's the right thing to do. It's the loving thing to do, to keep our distance from each other physically. But we mustn't keep our distance from God at this time. Instead, we need to draw near to him. Maybe draw closer to him than you have for a very long time. See, view this time of fear and change and uncertainty as an opportunity to get to know the God who loves you, to draw near to him, to find your strength in knowing him, when perhaps the other sources of strength we look to just cannot be relied upon right now. So in a sense, the psalm is an invitation to us to get to know the living God. And of course, we might say, well, if I get to know him, will I like what I see? And what will I discover about him? And that's really what the rest of the psalm has to tell us. So just four things I think this psalm tells us about God. The first is verses 1 to 2, God is strong and he loves me. God is strong and he loves me. See, if you look at verse 2 here, the psalmist describes God in two ways. He's the maker of heaven and earth and he's the Lord. Now, the maker of heaven and earth, this he's saying there, he is the creator God. The mountains that scare the psalmist don't scare God. Why? Because he made the mountains. The things that threaten to overwhelm us do not overwhelm God. The God Christians trust in is strong, stronger than the threats around us. But he's also the God who loves us personally. That's what the Lord refers to. That Lord, capital letters, it's a translation of the Hebrew Yahweh, which is the personal name of God, the name God gave his people Israel when he rescued them from slavery. And that name reminds us that the God who helps us is the God who loves us. He's the God of relationship, the God who rescues his people from slavery, the God who always keeps his promises. The God who helps us is the God who loves us. And holding those things together is so precious. Because if God was described just as strong, we might doubt he could really love weak people like us. And if God is just described as loving, we might doubt that he's strong enough to actually help us. But the good news of this psalm is God is both strong and loving. And that's why we can go to him for help. God is strong and he loves me. That's the first thing we want to see. Then verses 3 to 4, we learn that God, the God who's our help, he doesn't sleep so we can sleep. Verses 3 to 4, God doesn't sleep so I can sleep. It's kind of striking, but I don't know about you. I have not been sleeping well this week. There's just so much to process. My brain is just ticking over and over. So much information to take in. What's the news going to say tomorrow? How are we going to cope with the children home from school? How long is all this going to go for? It's an anxious time for all of us. And for me, my response has been just not being able to go to sleep. Just anxious, worrying about things a lot. But if you haven't been sleeping well this week, this psalm has really good news for you. Verse 3, the Lord who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And why is that good news? Well, because God doesn't sleep, it means I can sleep. God promises here to do the night shift so that we can get some rest. God is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is watching over you, says the psalmist. He's watching over your family, your job, our country, our world. He doesn't grow tired or weary the way that we do. And so God invites us to rest in the knowledge that he is watching over us and our loved ones while we sleep. See, if it's all on our shoulders, if we need to protect and manage everything, then we're not going to sleep. We're going to say, sleep is for weak people. I need to do this. I need to protect myself, my family, my loved ones. But actually, because God doesn't sleep, because God is always watching over us, we can trust him. And we can close our eyes. We can go to bed and say, Lord, I need to sleep. Thank you that you don't sleep. Thank you that you are watching over us. You're working out your purposes. You're going to bring good out of this. Father, help me to sleep now, knowing that you're watching over me. That is a precious truth. God doesn't sleep, so we can sleep. And then the third thing we see from this psalm is that God can shade me from the heat. Verses 5 to 6. God can shade me from the heat. Again, if you've been part of our home groups at Avenue this last term, you'll know that we've been doing the Real Change course. And in that course, one of the key pictures is that life brings with it a lot of heat. And the heat are situations in our lives that challenge us and that show us the true state of our hearts before God and before other people. And you don't need me to tell you, we are going through a time of massive heat in our lives as individuals, as a country, in the face of the coronavirus. It's a time of great pressure and uncertainty. And I don't know what you feel that's revealing in your heart. I haven't liked a lot of what I've seen in my heart this week, that response to fear of just getting angry or getting anxious or getting just frustrated, panicking. But actually in verses 5 and 6, there's a wonderful invitation to all of us from the living God. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. See, what's God saying to us here? He's saying, in this time of heat, I will be your shade. In this time of heat, I will protect you from the damage the sun can do. Come to me. Spend time with me. Listen to my word. pour out your heart to me. Let me be your shade. Let me refresh you as you seek to live and follow me in this time. The Lord is our shade, and he wants to refresh us and protect us in these days. And I'm convinced that's absolutely central for us to grasp if we're going to answer that other question we started with, which is, how can I help the people around me? How can I help my family, my neighbors, my children, my parents, my work colleagues? See, the only way we can be of any true help to people is by praying for them and pointing them to the living God as we help them in other ways, as we do the shopping for them, as we phone them up, as we message them. But you see, for us to do that, we need to be refreshed ourselves in who God is. We need to be people who remember God is good, God is faithful, God is strong, and he loves us. We have to draw near to him and find shade in the shadow of his wing if we're going to be able to help anyone. I think it's a bit like when you're on an aeroplane and they do that safety demonstration at the beginning where they talk about the oxygen masks that will drop down if the cabin loses pressure. And the announcer always says something like, please make sure your own oxygen mask is in place before you help others with their oxygen masks. And again, this part of you thinks, well, that just sounds really selfish. If you've got maybe a loved one or children with you and you're just fidgeting with your own oxygen mask, shouldn't you be thinking about them? But actually, in order to help the people around you, the airline knows you need to be breathing in oxygen so you don't pass out. And then you can help the people around you. And I want to say, it is exactly the same for the Christian. If we're going to be of any help at all to our families, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues during this time, we need to be breathing in the oxygen of who God is, the oxygen of the gospel. We need to be drawing our strength from him if we're going to be able to love and help the people around us. God is our shade in the heat of this time. So draw near to him. Listen to him. Cry out to him. Keep talking to him. This is an invitation to know him more deeply than maybe you have for a long time. He offers to be your shade from the heat. So take him up on that so that you can then love and serve the people around you. And then the final promise in this psalm, it's a really striking one, verses 7 to 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. See that promise? It says, God promises to keep me from all harm. Do you get that? That's amazing. We looked at this psalm a few nights ago at Elders, and that's the promise we struggled with the most, actually. We're saying, we should have thought the psalmist is promising too much here. I mean, all harm? Really? Does that mean I won't get sick? None of my family will get sick? Nothing bad will ever happen to me? Well, no, the psalmist doesn't mean that. This psalm was sung by people in ancient Israel, and lots of bad things happened to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. For example, they were carried off into exile for 70 years. They were invaded by foreign powers. They experienced times of famine and illness. And a lot of the psalms are written by King David, and you look at his life, a lot of bad things happened to him. He was looked down on by his family. He was hated, rejected by King Saul. He was betrayed by people close to him. He lost family members. He knew what it was like to be on his own. See, the psalmist would have known this. So what does he mean when he says the Lord will keep you from all harm? Well, I think he means this. Whatever may happen in your life, whatever struggles or suffering or difficulty you may face in the days ahead, you are eternally and absolutely secure in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You are secure. You are safe. That doesn't mean that things will not be difficult. This psalm is written out of a place of fear, out of a place of weariness. But if you are trusting in Jesus for your relationship with God, you are completely and eternally safe and secure at this time and at any time in the future. the psalmist ends, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. He will keep you from all harm, and then he will bring you home to be with him. So I want to say from this psalm, Psalm 121, Avenue Church family, I wish I could be sitting in front of you right now, but take heart, take courage from this psalm. Take courage from who our God is. We are people who need help, but he is a God able and willing to help us as we draw near to him. Let me finish by sort of adapting the words of the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 8 in the New Testament. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Shall the coronavirus or self-isolation or news reports or an uncertain future? No. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are secure. We are safe. Let's take heart from that, and let's love and serve each other as we breathe in the oxygen of the grace and love of God. Let me pray for us. Father, we need to see you. We need to draw near to you at this time, Lord. You know that we are frightened, bewildered, unsure of what the next day is going to bring. But Lord, I pray you'd help all of us by your Holy Spirit's work in us to know we need never be unsure of your love and of your presence with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are our help. You are strong and you love us. You do not sleep so we can sleep. You are our shade. You refresh us. And you will keep us from all harm until we journey to be home with you in that glorious new creation. We are groaning now, Lord, but keep us trusting in you and knowing your help with us in the days to come. And we ask that in Jesus' name and for his glory in our lives.